recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on a chest, get it on.
Was that a laughing thing or was that just a song?
It was a weird hit in this. I remember hearing it first driving through Wyoming, strangely, and was like, what the hell? Then Sesame Street did a version of it.
Oh, right.
And that's what happened. Even Matt is shaking his head, the poor son
Punisher. I was definitely the core audience for that Sesame Street airing. Mm-hmm. 22 years old.
Mm-hmm. I remember I had very – it's so funny. When I was a kid, I remember once like a teacher or somebody saying to me somebody in some know or something said like, Adam should really watch the Electric Company or like Sesame Street or, you know, so we can learn how to whatever. And I was like, shine that noise. Like that stuff. I was bored as shit over that stuff when I was 6, 7, and 8. Like, yeah. I was like, no way. Yeah. I want to see Speed Racer. I want to see Pops Racer beat one of the Malachi twins with a crescent wrench. I want to see Spritel and Chim Chim bouncing around. I want the automotive acrobatic team. I want Inspector Detector. Like, so I want people punching people.
Only wheels and punching.
Wheels and punching.
Yeah, wheels and punching. So, like, Johnny Quest, not so much.
Oh, no.
Not so many wheels in Johnny Quest.
But your hovercrafts, and you could shoot people of color. Well, not of color, but you know what I mean?
Questionable
nationalities. Yeah, questionable. It was fine. Yeah. You know, the weird guy with the mustache. Yes, Dr. Quest. I've been expecting you. Like, what took you so long? So it's a lot of that. There's never any further discussion. What do you mean it took us so long? How do you know it's coming to your life? Like, they just listen. Yes, Dr. Quest. I've been expecting you. And Dr. Quest, everyone, who? What do you mean? Is my wife Marge been opening her big yap again? Like, they never ask anything.
Nothing.
They don't turn to the person next to them and go, what the fuck's going on? What do you mean?
How did he know?
Us? You tell him we were coming?
You ever met this guy before? Did I meet him somewhere?
Yeah, there's never that. Yes, Dr. Quest. I've been expecting you. Yeah, they do like a right on time, Dr. Quest. Like,
and then beam, beam, saw the beam.
But in the middle of a volcano on an island that's uncharted. What do you mean? You're expecting me? Boy, you're going to be disappointed.
Why?
Because in future episodes, when you're expecting people, I bet they're not showing up.
I'd bet.
So I, as a kid, wanted nothing to do. I wanted to watch Sesame Street and the Electric Company about as much as I wanted to trade baseball cards or look at comic books.
Yeah, there was nothing in any of that stuff for me either, which I always felt guilty about because I felt like I would have been more creative or something if I were somehow invested in that stuff, but I was not. But when Sesame Street hit, I was 10, mm-hmm. 11. Mm. And it was way sort of more youthful kind of programming. And I would argue it was like for 2 and 3 year olds, really. Like,
also,
barely speaking.
I always feel sort of half whatever about like Mr. Rogers. I feel
Did you watch that documentary about him?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I feel the same way about Mr. Rogers is I feel about Huell Hauser. Like, on one hand, super nice guy who's just wasting everyone's time and money. Like,
well-meaning,
super authentic, mm-hmm. sincere guy.
Well, authentic, but with a little bit of a gloss of, I don't know what that is.
Didn't really want to have to compete in the real world.
Also, not the guy you're going to go have a beer with.
No way. Like, I know we have to just go, hey, this guy's a hero, man. He loved to talk to kids. Hmm. But he didn't possess a lot of, I don't know, like if somebody says,
I know, when somebody met him, I'm sure that somebody went, that guy's got it.
No, but like when people describe like his greatest talent was for listening. Oh. I'm like, how about Ben Vereen? His greatest talent is tapping his ass off, like or playing the trumpet while he's tap dancing. Right. Like, how about a little more of that and a little less listening? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know who's listening right now.
Me.
And my Nana. She's been dead for 9 years. Like,
I get it.
And other people are like, 5-year-olds aren't really ever listened to. And it's like, yeah, they're not saying much.
Right.
But he listened.
Right.
And I also feel with Mr. Rogers. Let's beat up on Mr. Rogers. His
that's a winning proposition.
Well, everything was so insanely cathartic for him. Like, he had this childhood where he was like a fat kid and people didn't listen to him. And now he's just going to build his entire life around, like, listening to kids. It's fine. Here's what I'm saying. Whenever I look at performers, I kind of look at certain guys or girls and I go, I could never do that.
Mm.
And then you look at other people like Yoko Ono and Mr. Rogers and you go, I don't want to do that. Like, I feel like I could put the sweater on and fake it in a pinch, but mm-hmm. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
I was bothered in that documentary, by the way, that they were sort of offended by Eddie Murphy's comedic version. They should have embraced it all the way.
I think they said he liked it.
I still got the feeling he was like, oh no, they all got me all wrong. And no, this is great. Highest honor.
Well, look, I tip my cap to anyone who can figure out a way to get paid to do something that they want to do for a living that didn't formally exist.
Yeah.
Like, sure, Huell Howser made a living wasting everyone's time, but he still made a living wasting everyone's time.
But you learned about tortilla factories.
Not really. You didn't learn anything when you watched? It's because there's not much to know about tortillas?
We got
to
drop a couple of Huell Howser sort of amazing.
I love
if
that.
If you can find that, Gary.
You can't write Huell Howser. All right, anyway. I want to thank our sponsors for this show, Blue Emu, and I can get that on Amazon, promo code 3, Drew. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. TrueCar.com and LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. Yeah, I mean, when he went to the Baghdad Cafe, that was some of the greatest comedy I'd ever... There's two times, like they go, we're a comedian, who makes you laugh? Does Dave Attell make you laugh? Does Jimmy Kimmel make you laugh? And I go, no. Huell Howser makes me laugh. And the great Deacon Jones.
Oh, yeah.
The two hardest times I've ever laughed watching TV is when Huell Howser's got guy on the phone from the Baghdad Cafe. And the timing. You got to go to that one part here. The timing's okay. Hey, Burt Lancaster, what's the story about behind Burt Lancaster? Did he eat here? Oh, you just like Burt Lancaster. Well, you hung the picture up. Okay. It was like the greatest zero burger. That was like bigger than Al Capone's vault in terms of like nothing burgers.
They leave it on the show.
It didn't cut it. It's the greatest moment ever.
I have it here to just when he takes the phone. They get into Lancaster fairly quickly.
Right. That part, and when Deacon Jones goes, well, I find when you go upside a man or a woman's head, they tend to blink their eyes.
Atkins fled.
It's the greatest. It's the greatest. It's the funniest moment on TV. It's better than any Seinfeld episode. Or woman. He's talking about NFL players exclusively.
I know.
There are no women in the NFL. Oh. There'd be zero reason to include women. All right, let's hear it one more time. It makes me laugh every time.
Atkins' threat of breaking arms was the reality of the Deacon Jones head slap.
The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes. That was all I need.
It's the greatest moment in TV. He's specifically asking about rushing the quarterback, not getting out of the entry hall. He's talking about rushing the quarterback. There's a context here. He sets the table by saying rushing the quarterback. He's not saying, as human beings, we're all wired very delicately. No, he's saying, here's how I rush the quarterback.
He's imagining hitting people inside the head.
I love that he included women. And I love that the NFL Network never caught it. I swear to God, I laughed about it on the air doing the morning show, like in 2008 or whatever, and it magically left the NFL Network. Like somebody finally went, going, hey, do we have edit bays here? Like, yeah. Aren't we just putting this up against game footage? Yeah. Well, why don't we just cut out a little early on Deacon talking about women?
Well, it says with the subtitles, Deacon Jones equal rights for women, rights and lefts for women.
All right, now the second greatest clip from TV history is Huell Howser.
Oh, my God.
At the Baghdad Cafe.
Howdy, how you doing? Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe.
They're laughing at him.
Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster? Why is there a, let's stand in here, let me get and I'll relay it to our viewers. Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe?
What's the Baghdad Cafe? Shh.
Oh, you just bought it. He's never actually been here.
That's the greatest.
Burt Lancaster's never been here.
That's super clear. I've never laughed harder in my life.
You just hung it up.
You just hung it up. You bought a picture.
It looks good.
Looks good. Hey, nice, sweet job.
Things are kind of quiet here today. The general's here.
What is it? Where is this place?
It's the Baghdad Cafe.
What is it? Why is Huell there?
Why? Because it's close to where he lives.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean, why is he there? He's spending our money.
No, he used to do sort of Los Angeles sort of curiosity.
Yeah, well, after you hit Tommy's Burgers for the 39th time in Van Nuys, it's time to spread your wings artistically. So you end up at a dump outside in the Inland Empire. He just bought a picture of Burt Lancaster. Woo! We got to get him in on this whole Russian thing. Blow the lid off it, yeah? I feel like he's a mole. You get him deep in.
He'll get the info. Adam Schiff's got to get on him.
They got to get Huell Howser in on this thing and blow the lid off this whole collusion thing because this guy gets answers.
Oh my God! Look where that is.
All right, where is it?
It's like Antelope Valley beyond. Like where is
it? Looks
that?
Like the closest city just to the left.
Barstow. Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, let me. Those are two greatest moments in TV, right? So in terms of like, you're a comedian. What makes you laugh? Incompetence. Insane, unadulterated, unstepped on incompetence. Insane incompetence.
That makes Adam laugh.
That makes me laugh.
How come I don't make you laugh then?
Oh,
there are exceptions, I guess.
Yeah, you have your moments, but you're generally professional.
Okay.
All right, let me tell you about LifeLock. Reduce your risk of becoming a victim of tax scams. Don't log into bank accounts on unsecured Wi-Fi networks. Don't prepare to file your returns on public computers. And remember, IRS employees will not email you. Don't click the link in the emails claiming it's from the IRS. There's so many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. Look, it's 2019, people. Folks are on the internet. They're hacking in. They're trying to steal your identity. And once they screw that credit and that FICO score up, good luck on ringing that bell. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you got LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security, they can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for 10% off.
The true comedy gold and the California gold, the comedy gold is how long he paused.
Mm-hmm.
When he went like, what's the meaning of this picture of Burt Lancaster? Oh, you just bought it.
Like, it was you just hung it up.
It was from a comedic standpoint, it's the extra two beats he waited before he said nothing.
Yes, yes.
All right. Let's talk to Dominique, 39, from Santa Clarita.
Hey, get it on.
Get it on, man.
I am in a debate with my wife about whether or not we should have a third kid. We have two little ones, 2.5 and 1, and she really wants a third pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Wanted to get your thoughts on what I should do.
I'm not concerned, but intrigued. Somewhere between intrigued and I'm intrigued. Most moms who got the little ones and just went through all this muss and fuss aren't in such a hurry for the third.
Did she have maybe three siblings herself, two siblings that were of close of age?
Let me answer that question. Oh,
she did not. Do you have two boys or two girls?
We have a boy and a girl.
Jeez. None of the usual things.
Huh. Now Drew's intrigued.
I am intrigued. I like having had three kids. I got to tell you, you're a team, man. You got personnel at three.
Oh yeah, like me and Olga. But the idea that, you know, I mean, birth is, there's a physical aspect to it. There's certainly an emotional part to it. The fact that she'd want to jump onto that as quickly as she does.
Some women are really into the baby thing.
No, I get it, but I'm worried a little that. You got a boy and a girl. They're both so young. How old is she?
Well, that's part of it. She's 34, and I believe I told her what Dr. Drew had said before, which is after 35, the women's chances of conceiving start to decrease a little bit, and she's really been all over that.
Yeah.
A little bit meaning she's about as likely to get hit by a terrorist.
Can you ask? I don't know. I would sit down and really kind of talk to her and go, two kids, seems boy and a girl, seems they're both young, like seems perfect to me.
Well, and then talk about the finances and college and how you're going to do that and, mm-hmm. and having a third. Although it's always the people that I wish would have three that don't. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, look, either way, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But I'm still kind of curious as to... I would just kind of ask her flat out, like, what does this mean for you? Or does it feel like the sun is setting on your eggs now and you just want to make some hay while the sun is shining or whatever that is? And I wouldn't have a strong stance, pro or con. I don't think there's a reason, unless there's a real financial reason, but I don't think there's a reason to be dug in.
Either way.
I'd like to live with a happy person that kind of got, you know, women also can tend to brood. And it's not a brooding. Brood is a guy, you think a guy broods. But what I mean is like.
Hey, hold on to resentment.
You kind of tell them no to this thing they want real bad. Yeah. And you tell me how the next 4 years goes,
right,
you know.
Right.
So make her happy just that way. But also have a discussion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
Hey, I have the opportunity to help my audiences with aches and pains mentally and physically. Blue Emu has been trusted by Americans for over 15 years to support healthy muscles and joints. They have now produced an Amazon coupon code made specifically for our audience. Go to Amazon.com. That code is 3DREW. It is an Amazon code created just for our audience. 3, the number 3, DREW, for a $3 off coupon. It's simple. Go to Amazon, search for Blue Emu, BLUE-EMU. Add to cart, apply the code. Again, the code 3DREW. Blue Emu has a large portfolio of products, all American-made and of the highest quality. Deep, penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original for soothing tired muscles and joints. Maximum arthritis for any arthritic pain, and lidocaine as a numbing pain relief. Not only do these formulas work great, there is no chill, no burn, no odor. Use this opportunity to support your muscles and joints. The code is 3DREW.
All right, what's going on? I was listening to your show earlier today.
Oh.
Talking vaccinations.
Oh, yes. Did you hear the kid that testified before Congress?
I did.
That guy was awesome.
His mom didn't want him vaccinated. And
he goes, unfortunately, my mom has been sort of deluded to the idea that the CDC is some sort of conspiracy designed for its own benefit. And he's like, which of course it is not.
Well, Drew, let's drill down.
Okay.
As I was listening, the thoughts I was formulating is motives. And I was talking about it on my podcast last week, which is I do not have I'm curious who does or how this works, which is I believe the CDC is neither good nor evil. I just believe they'd like to effectively – stamp out measles or smallpox or malaria.
It's a group of scientists.
Right. Who are
interested in infectious diseases.
And in earnest trying to stop these things. Uh-huh. Now, but it doesn't mean that once in a while there's some information that's not correct or the flu shot that wasn't worked out correctly or whatever it is. But
It's medicine.
Yeah. In general, I look at them as like, it's like, I don't go, what's Bill Belichick up to? Yeah. And I go, well, he's trying to win football games. Right. It's like, yeah, how come he lost to the Dolphins then?
Right.
It's like, because you lose sometimes, but he's trying to win. Yeah. I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. No.
Follow the money, dude. Where do you think that money's going?
Yeah, I'm trying to, I don't think of myself as naive. I'm just sort of like, what would be their motivation for giving vast numbers of people autism? You know, I don't think that way.
No.
I don't think like Spike Lee thinks that the Navy SEALs blew the dams and the levees in New Orleans to flood the black people. I don't think like Ed Asner that, the Bush administration took the Twin Towers down, because I don't believe they're motivated.
Not only not motivated that way, and where would you find that motivation, number one? But number two, people can't coordinate to do anything and keep their mouth shut today. Are you kidding?
I'm saying, I said it on the show with somebody tweeted me the other day. I said, hush money, non-disclosure agreements, and taking it to the grave ain't what it used to be.
Right.
There's
sealed depositions.
There used to be
attorney-client privilege.
Yeah,
all of it's gone.
You pay someone hush money. Yeah. You paid them hush money for a reason.
Think about that.
Could have a press conference.
Think about it. Attorney-client privilege dashed. Sealed depositions. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, all of it's just gone. We just don't have that right now.
And how about taking it to the grave?
Oh, who? Why?
Okay, so
my mom managed to do that.
I was thinking about this, and as I was listening to you in my automobile,
yes.
And I was thinking a life where you're questioning the motives of everyone, yeah, micro or macro, you know, the man, the government, or your spouse constantly.
You have to be paranoid.
Well, but wouldn't you think it's a kind of a spectrum thing? Like, a lot of people have a little bit of healthy, like, wait a minute, Wonder Mops for $19.99. Like, how good could that Wonder Mop be? Like, right. Some people have that, and that's healthy, and that's fine. But so many people don't break down motives. And
we rarely talk about motives in this country.
And I only run off motives. Me too. And I literally, you know, every single argument I've ever been into with anybody, even when Lynette's as pissed as she can be at me, if I say, have you ever heard me yell at anybody because of an honest mistake that they made? They knocked something over, they screwed something up. And she said, no, you've never said a word. You've never said a word. The reason I never said a word is they don't deserve to be punished. They made a mistake. And I'm going to save my breath.
Motives are why I knew the Jussie Smollett thing was suspect.
Mm-hmm.
What motivates white supremacists to wear a MAGA hat? They go underground to wear a red hat at 2 in the morning in -5 degree weather and hang out waiting for some unknown something with a noose and a thing of bleach.
Right.
No motive. There's no motive on earth that explains that.
Right. So I wish, whether you're the mom or Jenny McCarthy or whomever, and you're putting together, you're constructing this thought process of what these vaccines are doing, I feel like if you can get your motive compass and you can kind of get it facing true north.
Well, they claim it's money. It's money. They're also going to money.
But that's – I get it. No.
It's the same people would say that cancer has a cure, but we don't want it because there's money made from cancer.
But that's part of not having your motive compass calibrated.
Right.
If you go, but they say – yeah, I know. They always say something. They don't say I'm a crackpot. They say I have something. But what I'm saying is – and that's going to always exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, these are they hate the Jews, or they hate that they hate black people, or whatever. Like, Spike Lee would say something. He wouldn't say I'm nuts. He'd go, the Bush administration was looking to clean out New Orleans and get rid of the black folk and bring in the Gentiles or whatever it was. Oh, they're Gentile. Sorry. Bring in, you know, we're gentrified or whatever. Of course, he's going to say something. That's part of the motive compass being broken.
Yeah.
People rarely announce they're nuts and ill-informed. They say follow the money or whatever it is. But I'm saying to you and to anyone listening, focus on your motive compass.
Right.
And if your motive compass is strong, it also annoys the shit out of you when other people get pissed off over, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, sort of, you ding someone's car because you open your door or something, and they go, why did you do that? And you go, I'm sorry, I'm getting out of my car. I didn't see that, you know, but why? It's such a weird, it feels like a caveman,
yes,
yelling at a tree, right?
It's like watching a puppet and assuming the puppet has motivation.
Right.
It's imbuing things out in the world with motivations they don't have one way or the other.
Can we say that having the let me float something. You tell me what you think. Having your motivational compass spinning around like you're in the devil's triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of a narcissism?
Oh, absolutely.
Because when the guy opens the car door and it hits your car door, you go, why'd you do that to my car? And the guy's like, I don't know who you are. I was on the phone and I opened the door and sorry. You know, and they go, yeah, but why? You know, it's like those people want to know why, like, all the time.
It's like, the same guy that when you're pulling out of a driveway, if they happen to be walking, maniac! It's like, no, I didn't see you. I stopped.
Right.
And I didn't see you, and now we've stopped, and you've had some sort of weird tantrum because I didn't see you, and it's you. It's all at the bottom of it, hey, man, it's me, always.
I know.
Yeah, and that's what's so distressing.
That's always my favorite.
Yes. 60 seconds, that's how long I'm going to talk to you, and that's what you can do to get an offer for your car in just 60 seconds. Go to True Car from your smartphone or your computer. You enter your license plate number, watch the car details pop up. Answer some questions. Get an accurate true cash offer. Boom, just like that from a local True Car certified dealer. Bring your car in. Let them check it out with you. They'll ask some questions. No surprises. Then you leave either with a check right then. It's that fast. Or you can trade in your car for a new or used car. But you can use True Car to find that car. Just look up the scattergram for the car you want. You know, you can lock in a price for a car on that True Car certified dealers. And you know that true price is a real price. It includes accessories and fees. No surprises on that end either. So once you get that true cash offer, you can trade it in or you can get the cash. And when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check it all out at True Car today.
My stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Material, is now available at Chassis, chassy.com.
How's it going? How's everybody receiving it?
Everyone who sees it in the theaters likes it. I haven't talked to a ton of people. I've talked to a few people who have seen it at home and they like it. I say generally or more than generally, thumbs up.
Susan Pinsky had an unusually, like, exuberantly positive response to this thing.
Really?
Yes.
Like, what do you mean unusually exuberant?
First of all, it's you and me.
Yeah.
So anything we
blooms
do
off
like,
the rose.
Yeah. So anything right. You and I do, it's usually like, but she, I don't know if you heard her laughing her ass
I
off
did
during
hear
the
her.
Whole thing.
Yes.
And that was not gratuitous laugh. She talked about it for 3 days after that. She also kind of related to the white trash in beginnings. You know?
What part resonated with her?
The Social Security thing came up many, many, many times because she goes like, oh, that would be my, that's my deal. That's my thing. And I guess, because I figured into you jumping
oh, you
up
did,
a little bit,
yeah.
I figured that into her life too.
Uh-huh.
So she identified super strongly with that.
You get people out of brackets, man, and into penthouses.
I get taxes for the state of California, man. That's what
all
I'm
right.
looking for.
You're a generator. You're an earner.
But she lots of things just came back and back and back multiple times. You know, things. You know, I know the house and the grandpa, and I know that stuff. I'm not – she doesn't listen to our podcast. So she doesn't hear us talking about this stuff that much. But, yeah, she talked a lot about your family and about, you know, school.
Well, I'm flattered that she liked it. And I I've not found anyone who doesn't like it.
Oh, no,
so.
She was raving about it. Really.
Well, God bless her.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can.
And it was not like, you know, be sure to tell Adam. It was just like, I'm like, geez, noted. You know?
Well, we'll talk about it maybe on the next show about it being passed on by Netflix and many other places.
Well,
that whole
phenomenon is something worthy of conversation.
Okay. Well, Gary has some thoughts. We'll have some more thoughts on that. You can get it at iTunes as well, but we're just doing it ourselves. So it's not, that's the only way we're doing it.
That's the new world. That is the new world.
Well, it is for me.
No, I would argue for anybody that's talented, that's the new world.
I don't know. Anybody that's talented,
that's the new
Joe
world.
Joe Coy's talented. He's going to Netflix. Like, I don't think it's for everyone talented.
No, I'm not saying that it's an either or proposition. I'm saying if they turn you down or don't get it, we just do it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's what we're doing. Heather Dubrow's World, she's a delight, by the way, is on Podcast One, and you can check that one out as well.
You should interview her husband for taking a knee.
I've talked to him before, but he's a very interesting cat.
Take a knee would be good.
So, right down here. Till next time, I'm Carl for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.